Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything you want to do, you want to be a top five team in the NFL. And certainly third down is very important. We've emphasized that. Try to identify the areas, not only that we need to improve, but where we think we can be better. And, you know, and I'm saying that is, what do we do well and where can we kind of focus our energy, if that makes sense? And obviously we're working on it constantly. Guys are aware and they understand the importance of getting off the field on third down.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, happy Tuesday. It's playoff week. You can give us a call if you want, 803-0550.
Bills, playoff week. Let's
Bills
go.
Bills and Broncos. So, all right.
Without a backup quarterback playing on the other side.
Yeah. No Mason Rudolph, no...
Skylar Thompson.
Philip Rivers.
Skylar Thompson played them in a playoff game.
Bo Nix.
Mac
you
Jones.
Know, 5 years from now, Bo Nix could be one of the better quarterbacks they've beaten in a playoff if he continues to ascend and be good. You know, just saying. Mahomes, too. They beat Mahomes.
Burrow. That one would be nice.
Lamar. Those would be nice also. Yeah.
Well, Burrow, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be back here, so... Got to get in.
Probably next year.
Yeah, so probably.
So, quick thing on the Bills. One thing about this year's Bills team that's different from years past, in my opinion, is the disparity between how good their offense and how good their defense is. Their offense is very good, and their defense, I do not believe, is. I am worried about the defense. And, Listen, there are a million stats you can go into, a million things. Why do I like Ben Baldwin's charts? Because they give me a picture of the league. And like zoom out, and what are these teams doing? And he just had one that I wanted. I actually kind of, I humbly asked him to do something, and he didn't, but this is what he does anyway. Something very similar to this. Watching the Saturday games, what are they talking about? Turnover differential. Oh, turnovers. You got to get turnovers. Turnover differential. It's endlessly talked about. I want punt differential, because punts are turnovers. If you get Patrick Mahomes to punt the ball to you six times, that's great. You don't need six interceptions. I've got an offense that can score from anywhere. Josh Allen can do everything. So just get me the ball. Punts. Part of the problem with all the turnovers, this is built in, but we'll get to this. So he has, Ben Baldwin, defensive series results and offensive series results. You get a first and 10. How often is the opposing team getting a first down against you on first and 10? And the Bills in that department rank where in the NFL? The opposing team gets, he's got first downs, touchdowns, field goals, punts, and turnovers. You don't have to play the guessing game. I can just tell you if you
middle of the pack, slightly below.
26th.
It's pretty bad.
Hold on. There's one other thing that's kind of built in here.
26th
in the NFL defensively. How often first and 10 turns into first and 10 again? Now, we know this. Their third down defense has been awful this year. So what the playoffs are going to have to bring, if the Bills are going to go far, the offense stays what it is, and the defense finds some answers. One of those answers might be turnovers. They are number two in the league, the Bills, in percentage of drives their defense faces that result in a turnover. Two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where they are in punts? Percentage of drives where the Bills force a punt.
Ooh. Low?
31st.
Very low.
Part of that's because of the turnovers. If you turn a team over, they can't punt it to you. So you almost want to combine. If punts are turnovers, let's combine the two. All right. They look okay if you do that. But it's not a great defense. There are some, obviously, sources for concern. They don't give up a ton of touchdowns, but they get chewed up. They are more bendy than they have been in years past of bend but don't break. They are more bendy. Offensively, where do they rank in this very similar stat? Number two in the NFL.
Yeah.
Percentage of drives that turn into a first down, number two. The Lions are one, the Bills are two. So to me, one story about this defense and this season is, I almost want to say, going in, we should have realistic expectations for the defense and for McDermott. If he produces for them a defense in the playoffs, if he and Bobby Babbage, who we just heard from there, if they are a middle-of-the-road defense of the playoffs, that's a win. I think that's a win. You have,
you're saying out of the crop of 14 teams, like if they're like,
do you want me to tell
in
you?
In the middle of all of them?
Well, yeah. Here are where the playoff teams rank.
Yeah.
Defensive series results. Denver, 2.
Mm-hmm.
Philly, 3. Houston, 4. Minnesota, 5. Chargers, 6. Steelers, 9. Lions, 11. Packers, 12. Ravens, 13.
Bucks, Ravens, that was the one I was waiting for.
Ravens, 13. Bucks, 16. Chiefs, 18.
Okay.
Commanders, 24. Rams, 25. Bills, 26. You're way down. You should go in expecting you have, I mean, which is odd. You have one of the weaker defenses in the postseason, the way that you've played this year.
Yeah.
So it's simultaneously to say, like, hey, cut McDermott some slack if they're not perfect. Because, and cut Babbage some slack if they're not perfect. Because we've seen this year that they've got their share of issues that they're trying to overcome. The defense has been in transition, whether that's injury at linebacker, a little bit of upheaval at safety. The defensive line is not consistently giving you what you hope. So my expectations for the offense are sky high. And on the defense, I just need you to keep the games alive.
Well, the good news is you can win the Super Bowl with a, if you can get middle of the pack, you can win the Super Bowl with a middle of the pack defense.
Yes, that's right.
You can't do it with a middle of the pack offense. You can do it with a middle of the pack defense. And there's a Chief, I don't remember which of the Super Bowl years it is, but there's a Chief team that won the Super Bowl that was 24th in defense that year. So you can do it, but you also, I feel, if you are going to have a defense that is subpar, you've got to allow your offense, you'll be willing to let your offense carry you. And the scary thing for me, I guess the good news is the way Joe Brady talked about as many possessions for Josh Allen as possible, that's a good sign. The bad sign and the terrifying thing for me would be if McDermott thinks, and Babbage, you know, both of them, if they go into the playoffs thinking that their defense is about to get lit up, my fear is that they're going to do what they did last year.
They're going to
take away.
But they're not going to do that
from the offense. They shouldn't do it.
They're not going to do it.
They shouldn't do it.
There's really no.
But what if the there's
just no way they're going to do that.
Then why did they do it last year?
Because they had A.J. Klein playing. This time around,
but if you're getting the same results as if A.J. Klein was playing, then what's the difference?
This time they're healthy. The difference is they went in knowing we are in trouble. We should plan for trouble.
Are we saying that's the same thing they should be planning for right now?
No, because they're healthy, and they probably think they have answers. Whereas when you have A.J. Klein out there against Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game, you probably would say, we actually don't have an answer.
They were throwing their hands up and saying, there's nothing we can do.
We got to try anything we can to change the way the game is played.
So now the difference is, again, like I'm not even thinking, though, it's because they learned, maybe that's true, too, that they learned their lesson from the Chief loss last year. It would be more so the idea that they think they could pull a better defense out than what they've showed in, like, these numbers, that they're going to have better results than that. Hey, whatever gets them to that result, whatever gets them to letting their offense do what they do and not worrying about holding onto the ball too long and limiting possessions and playing like they did last year against Kansas City, whatever gets me to that result. And if it's because they think their defense is better than it is, fine.
Well, you also might get a spot where, you know, you're saying ball control, long drives. That's kind of been what they are. I mean, they are not at least not that often, hitting teams over the top for two-play drives.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams, I mean, it's been harder to do that than really ever in years past, with defenses adjusting and forcing all these teams to go on and on and on for the long drives. Actually, speaking of that, do you remember back in the early part of the season when the story was that passing is dead?
Yeah.
And running is back?
And Mel Kiper wanted to ban safeties or something?
Yes.
Too high safeties.
To that point, this year in the NFL, there were 809 touchdown passes. That's up from last year. And interceptions, Here's a point about turnovers and punts that, I mean, again, like as I laid out there, the Bills are good. They've turned the ball over. That's good. I don't know if you can count on that in the postseason because the quarterbacks get better, right? Each and every week you can play, whether it's Mac Jones or, well, I didn't play him this year, rookie quarterbacks, this and that. Like, you can turn guys over. In the playoffs, it might be harder to do so. This year in the NFL, there were the fewest interceptions thrown since 1982.
Wow.
Yeah. Quarterbacks are better at protecting the ball.
And obviously, 1982, they would have been throwing the ball half the time.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the same amount of interceptions maybe on, like, 40% of the attempts.
387 interceptions, fewest since 1982, which was a strike season. Which is why I'm always looking at your defense. And listen, turnovers are great, but I want to see how often you force punts, because I think it's easier to buy the idea you will force a team to punt five times than turn them over three.
Yeah.
And in all scenarios, I've got Josh Allen, I'm getting the ball. So they've got to find out whatever they can, whatever the game plan is, however healthy they can get. Damar Hamlin starting at safety. We know that. McDermott said that yesterday, right? So,
yep.
All right. See how this all goes, how they piece it together. Healthy at the right time. No excuse about street free agent linebackers. But going in, we should probably expect shootouts, right? Denver scores on their first drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that unusual for this season. Teams have scored early on the Bills, and then they shut it down in the second half, and they make their adjustments.
Yep.
But bend but don't break. I am prepared for Denver, who is one of the weaker offenses to make it, to have some success. And I think if they're going to beat Baltimore, it's going to be a shootout. I think
I can't imagine them beating Baltimore if it's not a shootout.
I think the offense,
it's at least, like, it doesn't have to be 45-40,
no,
but like
27-24.
At least.
Right.
At
low
least.
End. I think we are in for, the offense is going to have to carry this team, and the defense is going to be about making like five plays.
Well, and do we think the offense is capable of that right now?
I do.
Because that's where I feel more confident heading into this postseason than last postseason. Because last postseason, I just don't think you're going to get through a playoffs unless your offense is rolling. And last year, it was running the ball, and we're going to play more low-scoring games at the end, and just everything's going to be to not turn the ball over. They didn't look dangerous. They didn't have the personnel to play that way. Right, like, I remember all those screens they threw to Diggs, and just like, this is not the guy for that. This is not his thing. And now they're doing that with Shakir and Samuel a little bit, the running backs too, and like,
and
that does work.
And Coleman on Sunday.
And Coleman,
they
right?
threw one to Coleman on Sunday, and I like that.
Coleman's had screens throughout the year that have worked.
Yep.
So right, like, they're better built maybe to play that way. And I do think Cooper being here, they're taking an occasional shot a little more often second half of the season. So I'm more confident, because even though the defense might, you know, you could say look weaker going in, I feel like their offense is capable. I think it could, four games together where the quarterback is hot and the play caller knows what he's doing and the weapons are good enough, the line is amazing. Like, to me, it all offensively looks like it's time for them to go carry this thing home.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 to join us.
The only thing I'm still in the back of my mind offensively is, are they going to get in a spot where they need one guy to kind of show out?
If they have that, all right, here you go. This is a fun game. Fun game. It is
biggest.
Doesn't matter, they're down.
Yeah.
They're down four.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the 9-yard line.
Okay.
They need a touchdown. 1 second on the clock. Who's the ball getting thrown to if Allen doesn't run it himself? Because, I mean, of course, Allen would probably... Who's the ball get thrown to?
It would be tough to run it from the 9, wouldn't it? He might.
Him? He ran it from the 20...
I know.
He ran it from the 26.
Yeah.
How far out do I got to go? I have an answer here for this. Here's my...
Yeah? Like a confident answer in it? Because
yes.
I think it's...
Here's my...
Could be anybody.
Here's my bold prediction for the playoffs.
Ty Johnson?
No.
Just kidding. He did throw a jump ball.
Write it down.
9:17 a.m.
Tuesday. My bold prediction for the playoffs.
Okay, the guy he's throwing to,
yep,
on one play to go,
yep,
from the 9-yard line, they need a touchdown?
Yes.
What are you going to say here? Coleman?
I'm going to say Coleman. I'm going to say that all year long, they've practiced that. Listen, Coleman, that The jumping catch against the Jets is cool.
Yeah.
Earlier in the game when they threw to him on the goal line and he said, put it up higher.
Uh-huh.
That is a confident receiver who is simply saying to his quarterback, and the message I'm sure all week is, dude, I want you to try and throw it over me. Mm-hmm. I'll get it. And it, listen, he's not the perfect number one receiver that's going to separate and do all those things. But he does have the above-the-rim basketball. He's getting higher than anybody that covers him.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about him is so far, defensive coordinators are not often shading help his way.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
The defensive coordinators out there put their corners on an island against him and say, he's not going to separate, stay on him, blah, blah, blah. And if you can get the ball to him up, who can get it from him? I think it might be, as much as I mean, I'm not here to tell you I love fade passes, because I don't. They're often low percentage. They're often mistakes.
Yeah.
But if you throw it to that guy, I think it's different. So I'm kind of prepared for Coleman to have big, big plays in this postseason. I think they will need him,
mm-hmm.
and I think they will lean on him if they have to.
I'm less confident
in that. Who's your better answer? It can't be a tight end. It can't be a tight end.
In that specific outcome, I would say I'm less confident that he'll be a regular feature, regular contributor on their offense. He'll be on the field, and maybe he'll get a catch or two every game they play. But leaning into him, I don't know that he's giving you the pop play. He's giving you the highlight reel play every once in a while to remind you, man, look at what he can do. The Jet play, the Seahawk play against Tariq Woolen. He is reminding you once in a while, man, there is some real talent in there. But he is 85th in the league in contested catch percentage this year. Like, it is not consistent. He has drops. It's rocky. And by the way, this wasn't new. He had bad numbers in contested catch in college. It's just the ones he hits on are insane.
Well,
they're amazing, and they are some catches. Like the 27%, some of that is those are contested catches maybe nobody else can make.
That's
or very few can. But
a contested catch is any play where a defensive back is in close to you, on you, and that's not what this would be.
So I'm not saying you're wrong and that he would throw that ball to Coleman in that spot. I just would not be super confident that he's coming down with it.
I think it's the best play they might have at the 9-yard line.
Cooper's making contested catches maybe more consistently.
Maybe. Let's go to Zoe in Buffalo. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, thanks for having me. I do agree with you. At the 9-yard line, I would take that any day. As long as, like you said, he put it over his head. If he put it over his head, he's coming down with it. Nobody could jump up with him. Also, like you said, nobody's shading over to him for help. He's great with yards after catch. If you give him a quick slant or a screen pass, nobody really most likely not tackling him one-on-one. A lot of his tackles have always been with two other players tackling him, taking him down. He's like a bigger version of a Deebo Samuel. And some of his, more ladder drill, getting his feet up, because some of his route running too is, you know, he's slipping, he's getting his feet tangled up. And I think that'll come better as year two and year three of him getting his feet work on the off season, that he have more control and more separation right now. Like, he don't need to be the fastest, but his frame, and if you got the speed, you still feel that you're behind him because he can box you out and put you behind him.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think when he is making those catches, that is how it looks, which is why, you know, I also do wonder, you know, as we're describing, like, Coleman and some of these plays he makes, and as you say, like, Allen and Coleman, like, hey, throw the ball higher. He might be more consistent on those ones. I would wonder, I'd have to go through and, like, look at all the contested catches that he's caught or dropped on the year. Doesn't it feel like the ones he's dropping are in the breadbasket? Like, it's last week, or 2 weeks ago in the Jets, he's working back to the football. Allen makes that incredible throw on the run.
Hits him in the hands.
It hits him in the low. Hits him in the chest or the belly almost. Like, I wonder if the ones he's more inconsistent on are more like that than just, hey, put it up high and I'll catch it.
Well, this is a spot where the corner that he might see, I mean, whatever, Sertan might move all around the field. He might be on Cooper. He might be on Coleman. Whoever Sertan is covering, you might want to just, like, remove from the progression. Like, don't, you're not throwing at that guy. The other guy is...
he threw at Tariq Woolen.
Tariq Woolen is not...
You wanted to make a bet early in the year that he was going to try to moss Jalen Ramsey in a game.
That's right.
I just...
Neither of those players...
He's a crazy person.
Neither of them is Patrick Surtain. The DVOA of Surtain versus the other corner on the Broncos is like... It's a gulf. It's huge.
Yeah.
And the other corner is... Here you go. So, Aaron Schatz had this. Coverage DVOA when Surtain is covering your wide receiver number one. This is the only problem with like these fancy numbers. Like, I don't know what's a good number, what's a bad number.
Right.
Anyway, it's a minus 41%. And when somebody else covers that same receiver for Denver, it's a plus 25.
That's a huge
gap. That's a massive gap. So, if you're the Bills who have two outside guys that aren't necessarily true number ones, you know, Cooper's pretty good. Coleman looks like a very solid young number two.
Mm-hmm.
If they put Surtain on Cooper, I now have Keon Coleman against 6'0" Riley Moss.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 inches before the reach and the jump. And I just think if they go Riley Moss on Coleman, I mean, ooh, I think Coleman can win on Sunday.
That's a good call. I want to look quickly. I can find like the who was covering who. The numbers from 2 weeks ago. That Bengals-Broncos game. Because
they threw on Riley Moss all day.
I want to know how much Higgins was on him, because Higgins, he's not perfectly comparable to Coleman, but it's bigger body. You know, there's contested catch stuff. He went nuts in that game. And I would imagine, before I find the numbers, that Surtain was on Chase for much of that game. But I'll find it.
They don't always shadow, and that's the point. Whenever, if Surtain on some plays was over on Higgins, then they would throw to Chase on Riley Moss. Riley Moss... I mean, I almost want to call him embattled Riley Moss, because there's a story in Sports Illustrated. The Broncos defensive coordinator defends Riley Moss, toughest guy in our defense. Like, the Broncos are feeling like they have to defend this guy because he gets picked on, because he's the other guy. He's not Patrick Surtain.
Right.
So he has a tough job in that, hey, you see the guy on the other side of the field? Yeah, he's so good they will look at you on every play instead. So buckle up your chin strap. You're going to be targeted a lot, and teams that have a good enough weapon over there are going to throw it at you.
Here we go. Riley Moss, 2 weeks ago when they played the Bengals, T. Higgins, when covered by Riley Moss, had 8 targets, 7 catches, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
That's a 6'4", 215-pound receiver on the outside winning that matchup all day.
Here's the total numbers from that game. Moss, everybody included. Moss was targeted 15 times, 11 catches, 128 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Surtain in that game targeted 7 times, 4 catches, 34 yards. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a massive gulf.
So that's Joe Brady. That's Josh Allen today. When the ball goes to receivers, it probably goes away from Surtain. All right. 803-0550. Look at us. Just, you know, X's and O's, baby.
Yeah.
It's only Tuesday.
I know. We gotta save some.
Bring on the game. Benjamin Albright. On the Broncos. We can ask him about Riley Moss, who, again, not saying he's a bad player, but when you're not Surtain, you're going to get the targets. So Benjamin Albright, when we get back, on the Broncos as they come into this game. It's coming up here. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
We've worked really hard for this, you know, quite honestly, opening the season, nobody expected us to do this, but, you know, we didn't really listen to that. We just came out there and put a lot of games together, and we've lost a few tough ones, but we've also won some big ones, so this team deserves it.
It's Bo Nix. Is he Beauregard Nix?
I was just looking to see if he has a nickname on Pro Football Reference. He does not.
He does not. Okay.
His middle name is Chapman.
Bo Chapman Nix.
Finished third in Heisman voting in 2023. We make the jokes about how long he played in college football. He really has only played college football since 2019.
Yeah. He's from Arkadelphia, Arkansas.
He had 2,000 attempts in college almost.
Arkadelphia. Yep. Pinson Valley, Alabama.
Let's see. Anything interesting? No, Auburn was never good when he was there.
No, his best season was, they were 9-4.
His best season was absolutely with Oregon.
45 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah.
In his final college season.
Insane.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 chatting about Bills Broncos, among other things. Sabres won last night in a shootout. They beat Washington. No Ovechkin goal. I was disappointed. Yeah. Is it wrong to be disappointed?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
It's wrong?
No, I'm sorry. Okay. It isn't. Yeah. In that, like, the Sabre season's pretty much over, and that record is the coolest thing in hockey right now. And by the way, if you do the math of it, he is on pace to break the record on Thursday, March 20th at home against Philadelphia. He plays the Sabres on March 30th. Excuse me, Philly on March 20th. The Sabre game is March 30th. The Sabre game is sandwiched between 4 road games, 2 before, 2 after.
And then they're in Washington?
Against the Sabres. So maybe they would work to get him the goal there? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like they'll work to get him the goal whenever. He was out there in overtime. Had a chance.
Yep.
All right. To the Western Hotline. Benjamin Albright joins us to talk a little bit about the Broncos here as we're getting ready for Bills, Broncos, and reporter and Broncos insider K-Way, Colorado. Benjamin, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for taking some time. Should Bills fans be nervous about this Denver team?
I think nervous would be okay, but appropriately nervous. I mean, you are the number 2 seed for a reason. I think you think back to just last year, Denver came out there to Buffalo and won the game. So I think there should be an appropriate nervousness. That said, a little bit different team this year. You got the rookie quarterback, and the defense is vastly improved, but the run game has sort of disappeared. So, I think the Broncos, that line started 8.5. I think the Broncos can cover that. I'm not sure about winning this game.
Yeah. We just talked last segment quite a bit about Riley Moss. And, this Denver defense has a lot of big-time players, and Patrick Surtain is basically a do-not-throw-it-at-him kind of guy. When you look at the total of the Broncos defense, strengths, weaknesses, is Riley Moss a spot that teams, not just the Bengals, but other teams have been trying to pick on a bit, or is it just because he's not Surtain, and that's basically what the job is when you are the guy on the other side?
It's a lot more the latter. I mean, Riley Moss, especially before the injury this year, was absolutely phenomenal, but teams just threw at him because he wasn't Pat Surtain and he wasn't Jaquan McMillan, who plays in the slot and is very good in his own right. And so that's sort of the area that people sort of threw at. I would say post-injury, he struggled a little bit coming back the last couple of weeks. Now, this last game was against the Chiefs backup, so I wouldn't take anything from it. But, overall, he sort of struggled a little bit since coming back from that injury. The other weak spot in that secondary would be P.J. Locke, the other safety. Brandon Jones has been a bit of a revelation, but Locke has struggled at times. And, Moss and Locke are often on the same side of the field together based on the way the Broncos play defense. So that's sort of the area that's the weak spot of this defense, if there is one.
Benjamin Albright with us on the Western Hotline at Albright NFL to follow him on social media. Knicks, the numbers this year, we've seen him especially in the standalone games Denver's had, and he's looked very impressive throughout much of the year. In terms of him being a rookie, he's an older rookie that jokes always made, right? And then you look at the numbers, like, is he well polished as a rookie for a game like this?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he is an older rookie. I mean, the joke coming out was that the pre-draft meal they had with him was a dinner at 3 a.m. at the Bob Evans. He's that old. He had to get up to Mall Walk. But no, I'm kidding. He's just more polished because he's older. He's more mature. He's a sharp guy. You don't see him make the same mistake very often, which is nice. There are things about the numbers that don't necessarily match up with his game. I think he's a lot closer to maybe a Derek Carr than anything else. Doesn't take a lot of negative plays, doesn't take sacks, doesn't turn it over very often. And that's sort of the key to keeping this offense on schedule. And that really has been the key, kind of all year. Last year, Russell Wilson was such a high variance guy. You're taking sacks, but you had tons of big plays. You'd be sluggish at times, and then you'd have the fourth quarter comebacks and all that. Bo is just what I call steady Eddie. It's a lot of high efficiency type stuff, keeping the thing on schedule, and at the end of the drive, you come away with points.
How much did his running come out of nowhere, or was that kind of expected that he could be someone that has been running the way he has, where gets over 400 yards, and when a play breaks down, I mean, he's not quite, you know, of course, like the Allens or the Jacksons of the world, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't come out of nowhere if you're watching the college, especially at Auburn, before he got to Oregon, where he really ran a lot. He's about a 4.6, 4.6 and a half, 40 guy. The long speed isn't, you know, what you call like Lamar Jackson elite, but that first step is quick. And that's the thing, his 10-yard splits are elite numbers, and that's the, you know, he surprises you with that, I think, a little bit. And he's decisive with it. You know, this isn't like it's not a thing where he's hesitant or that kind of stuff. If the play's breaking down and he sees the opportunity for yardage, he'll go get a chunk of them. Doesn't do it all the time, certainly not as prolific, like you mentioned, as Josh Allen, but he is a better athlete than you think. You look at him and you sort of think, oh, okay, you know, whatever, and then he gets out there and you're like, oh, when he gets past you. So just something to keep your eye on. Usually a 3 to 4 time a game, you know, run guy, maybe a few more if a play breaks down, but they try to get him out there about 3 or 4 times.
How much of this Denver offense right now, does it feel like pieces are coming together and peaking at the right time? Of course, you want to play your best football this time of year. Feels like the Chiefs with Hollywood Brown coming back and just piecing that together, they've looked better. Has Denver had a similar fate with Mims and Vele? Like, all of a sudden, I'm seeing more names with big highlights than it was earlier in the season.
Well, that is true. I don't know if peaking at the right time is exactly the right phrase, so much as it is Sean Payton putting his ego aside and playing his best players. Mm-hmm. You know, we spent the first half of the season with Marvin Mims in the doghouse for no reason, and for some reason continuing to throw at the wildly inefficient Troy Franklin and Lil Jordan Humphrey. Now we're starting to see them get to the better players, the Devon Vele and Marvin Mims, who's by far the Broncos' best weapon and most explosive player. You've certainly seen that the last couple of weeks. Vele's probably taking over for Cortland Sutton next year. You know, he gets a lot of the third down work and sort of more of a Tim Patrick role right now, although it'll be that Cortland Sutton role probably next year. And then, of course, you still got Cortland Sutton, who's a decent X receiver and plays well. The problem for the Broncos in the offense is twofold. One, you get no playmaking ability out of the tight end. And two, you've got a running back room that's just kind of a mess and they can't figure it out. You know, McLaughlin is the most explosive back, but he's a bit diminutive there in his size and not really an every down guy. So, you know, those are really the problems. They've got a pretty deep receiving core, but it's everywhere. And that great offensive line, it's everywhere else that's the problem.
Ben Albright, KOA in Denver. In terms of the Broncos, kind of the vibe there, especially for the fans, Ben, like here, everyone's kind of on edge because, like, all right, it's time to do it already. Is it more, I don't know, what is it? Is it playing with foul money a little bit because... Not even necessarily that like they lucked in, just that the team hasn't been in the playoffs in so long and the opponent is so tough that maybe anything feels like a win after this week.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because the last time that we were doing playoff interviews here, I did it by telegraph. It feels like here in Denver. So, no, it's been a while, almost a decade. I mean, Super Bowl 50 was the last time they were in the playoffs. So there's a sense of playing with house money. I don't think the fan base is expecting a win here. If they get one, they'd be certainly be enthusiastic about it. But I don't think the fan base here in Denver is expecting a win by any stretch. They're just happy to be here for the first time in a decade. I think the countdown or the clock on, you know, playoff success would start next year. You know, year 2 of Bo Nix, year 3 of Sean Payton. You know, this year you needed the last game of the season to even get in after choking the two games before that away with some weird clock management from the head coach. So, I you know, the fan base, I think they're excited. They're just excited to be here, and that's okay. I mean, for your first trip back in a decade, it's okay to be excited just to be here. But I think next year is when the countdown really starts.
One last thing on, you know, if they were to win, they'd go to Kansas City and they'd give it a chance. They would have a chance, the Broncos would, I'm not picking this, to, well, prove whether or not they can match up with the Chiefs, because I know they beat them 38-0, and again, the Chiefs didn't really need it all and didn't play any starters, but the first matchup between those two was a tight game that many feel like the Broncos should have won, and I almost feel like even though, you know, we chalk it up as like don't count that last Chiefs-Broncos game as anything, to me there's a little bit of a benefit there for the Chiefs because they didn't have to play one of their toughest opponents that they played this year, and I don't know. Would you give Denver a chance to take out Kansas City if they were to play again?
Well, I think Denver matches up better with Kansas City. You know, Kansas City has a history of Pat Mahomes, this high-flying offense, but they're not really that anymore. Kansas City's a defensive football team these days. It's a good defense, you know, led by Chris Jones, but they're a defensive football team that just finds ways to try to make plays on third down between, you know, Mahomes and Kelce. Mahomes is still a very good quarterback, don't get me wrong, but hardly as prolific as he was 3 years ago when the offense had better skill position players across the board. And, you know, I think their offense is smarter now. It's older and smarter. But it's really more of a run-based offense with the 1-2 punch of Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. And so, you know, it's just a different team than I think the attitude is. The Broncos win at Arrowhead, should have won that game by all rights. They took that last-second game-ending blocking field goal in order for Kansas City to win at Arrowhead. I think the Broncos match up better with the Chiefs than they do with Buffalo, and I think if they find a way to get past Buffalo, I would be more confident in a victory over Kansas City at Arrowhead than I would before going into Buffalo in an early game on the East Coast and getting a win against you guys.
All right. Benjamin Albright with us. Last thing for you, Ben, because I know you're plugged in around the league also. With the coach cycle going the way it's going, the only five openings that there are, do you feel like there's a good chance or maybe less of a chance that Joe Brady would get poached from the Bills staff?
I don't believe he will be. I think his best shot would be the job in New Orleans, which I think is going to go to Aaron Glenn, but we'll see. The one thing that I would say to keep your eye on is there may be a job opening up. There may be a sixth job that opens up next week, the Raiders job. I don't think he's 100% safe there, so keep your eye on that. That one may lead to something like a Joe Brady, depending on how much his namesake, although not relative, Tom Brady, has to have say in that maneuver. So keep your eye on that. I think the job for him, maybe Jacksonville, but New Orleans is probably the two that you'd have to be concerned about, and I think New Orleans is going Aaron Glenn.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Take care.
Enjoy the game. Benjamin Albright on the Broncos, NFL Insider on the Broncos and other things. You know, he makes the joke about, like, would Tom Brady hire Joe Brady? And I would say, definitely no. He would say no.
Really?
I'm Brady. That's it. I don't want confusion around here over who's who.
Would New England not hire him because his name's Brady?
That's funny.
But it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Like, we have a Brady. You can't be Brady. Yeah.
Speaking of the other Brady, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
Yeah, Tom Brady. Andrew Marchand of The Athletic is among one of many predicting that Brady will be done in the booth after this year.
Come on.
Yeah.
One and done? Does he still get the whole $300 million? No way, right? One and done?
Here's what he wrote.
I mean, he probably should be.
I've previously said I'd put big money down. Brady will not finish his 10-year, $375 million contract with Fox, given all his other interests. That remains true. The safer prediction will be that Brady walks away from his Fox deal after 3 or 4 years, but I'm going bold in saying Brady gets deeper involved with the Raiders in the offseason and goes all in with ownership and production by his production company by the start of next season. He'll be out. Which makes total sense.
It does.
He never really wanted to do this until everybody else started doing it, and then he decided, like, oh, I got to do that too. He doesn't want to do this.
Is he going to like the idea, though, of, like, I quit, like, that he quit something, you know?
No.
Because he's so in his head about, like, you got to give it your all on everything.
He's an NFL owner.
But he's, right. Even though he's both right now.
Yeah. All right, Extendo Sports, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up as we close in on Bills Broncos Sunday, 1 o'clock. Of course, the college football playoff starts Thursday.
I know Thursday is Notre Dame.
Yeah,
so
Notre Dame, Penn State.
Penn State,
not bad. What a weekend we've got ahead of us. All right, yeah, we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, just real big games, good times. All right, Extendo Sports coming up.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports. Mo in New Jersey very quickly before the end of the show. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy victory week. I consider victory week because the Patriots lost that first pick overall, so I'll take it. But the reason I wanted to call was of Sean McDermott during the season. I've called to complain about him in the past. I've called to say how great he was after the Miami game. And, you know, for what it's worth, he is a great regular season coach. And I think as fans, we're spoiled that how much success he's had during the regular season. I'm at the point where I hate to see more, right? At this point, it's the playoffs for me. I don't want to, you know, thank you for everything you've done during the season. If we can't get over those two hurdles, the Chiefs and the Ravens, if we play them, if we get past the first round, right? If we can't get past them, I don't know what the solution is, but I just don't want to keep going down this road every single year just to be miserable after another playoff exit. Like, I'm excited for the playoffs, but in the back of my mind, I know what the possibilities are, and that's where I'm at, but, you know, yep. Go Bills.
Thanks, Mo. I'm imagining calls if they lose to the Ravens or the Chiefs.
Anything
the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and getting different results.
Mm-hmm.
Like the purgatory of 5 years in a row effectively being the same. Division championship, win a playoff game, lose the next one. And especially at home. Like if they lose to Baltimore, that'll be purgatory. If they go to the AFC championship game and lose to the Chiefs, that'll be a little different. But
it'll be the Chiefs again.
Yeah, like we've got...
Losing in the Super Bowl is the only way they exit, and it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah. Time to overproduce in the playoffs. Josh Allen and the offense, we're counting on them, and hopefully the defense comes together. You know, like, we'll see. Bills and Broncos coming up Sunday. The fate of our lives. You ever feel like that? Like this weekend, fork in the road. Who knows what happens? Our lives will be different.
Yeah.
Not on the line in the playoffs. A lot of pressure. All right, we're back tomorrow. Thanks for texting, calling, listening, tweeting, all that good stuff. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up.